Good morning. I feel off balance. My wife's not here this morning. I'm looking over there going, where are you, Cindy? So Cindy, if you're watching, it's good to have you. We had some company this week, and you ladies know how that is. Men take credit and women do all the work. Cindy's a little tired from all the company. I want you to turn to Galatians 5. You should have it marked by now. We're in number 7 of our spiritual gifts this morning. Faithfulness. Let's be reminded by reading the scripture of what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. These are the words of God. And may He add His blessing to this partial reading of His holy word. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being as close to each of us as we will allow you to be. And in this hour, may we draw you even closer and listen to what you would have us to hear this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Morning's lesson is pistis. Sounds like I'm stuttering. Pistis. Pistis means faithfulness in Greek. So let's look at that. A quick look at the words faith, faithful, faithfulness indicates their use in either Greek or Hebrew some 337 times in the Bible, give or take a few. Paul uses one of these three words 127 times. That makes faith, or some derivation of it, one of the most worked nouns in all of Scripture. By that measurement alone, it would behoove us to know what the word means and how it's used. For starters, pistis is the Greek word for faithfulness, and it's roughly synonymous with both belief and trust. Faithful, trustworthy, believing. If we looked up those words, I suspect we could add several hundred more references. Faithfulness, the act of being faithful. Faithful is the adjective that modifies faith, so it must mean having faith. So there we are. All we have to do now is understand what faith means. Then we can get some and act on it, and we will have faithfulness. So, what is faith? We've been down this road before. Remember, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Norman, does that bother you? How can you have evidence and not be able to see it? Lawyers deal with that all the time. We have to have evidence, tangible, something we can take to a jury or to a judge. And yet the writer of Hebrews says, Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Let's see how that rides today. You know, it sounds almost like doublespeak, but listen carefully, because it isn't. The substance of things hoped for. Substance implies something tangible, something you can get your arms around, whether it's a thought or a thing. It's real, it's substantial. That's what Scripture is getting at, that faith is a substance. It's something you can get your arms around. Faith is real and faith is substantial. It isn't a thing you can stick in your pocket, but it is a thought you can carry in your heart and your mind. And it's just as real as the keys jingling in your pockets. So now we know that faith is sort of like the meat on the bones of hope. How do you get hope? You have to have faith. But we still don't know exactly how to put it in use. We need to do something with these things that we hope for, don't we? Like all the other fruits we've studied, faith is of little good sitting on a shelf in our hearts. We have to get it down, take it for a walk out here in the world. How do we do faith? Well, that same writer of Hebrews gives us some examples from history. He chronicles what we often call a hall of faith. Abraham, first on the list. Abraham obeyed God's call, and he, this is a quote, went out not knowing where he was going. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt a call from God and gone and not really known where you were going to land or how you were going to end up, but you went? Abraham did that. He did it on faith. He offered up his own son as a sacrifice to God. He raised his knife to cut the throat of his son and only withdrew upon the command of God's angel. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be when he raised his hand. He was acting on faith. The list in Hebrews 11 covers an assortment of faithful men and women who answer God's call, starting with Abel and going all the way through the prophets of old. For their trouble, they were rewarded, and I'm paraphrasing here, with mocking and flogging, chains, imprisonment, torture, stoning, destitution, affliction, homelessness, and so on, even death. Now, there's a good side to the hit parade of the faithful. Hebrews tells us also that these faithful conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, and last but not least, were made strong out of weakness. Though their faith was certainly commendable and their lives made better by their efforts, none of those witnesses, Hebrews calls them a cloud of witnesses, mentioned in Hebrews, received what they were promised, not in their lives. They went to their graves believing, being faithful to the cause without the proof of the pudding. They saw preliminary glimpses of what was to come, but like Moses gazing across the Jordan, while he stayed back as the people crossed the river, they did not taste that promise fulfilled in their lifetimes. That was for later. The new covenant, remember Jeremiah, was going to be fulfilled and something better was coming. The cloud of witnesses had faith in that promise. They were disciples, followers, and they acted out their version of faith, the substance of things hoped for. So even though it sounds like we're going around in a circle, having faithfulness really is being faithful. But being faithful is no easy chore, is it? And what we are faithful to is going to make all the difference. We learn about being faithful to God through our earthly relationships. Are you faithful to your spouse? To your children? Are you faithful to your parents? Are you faithful to those for whom you work? For those who work for you? Are you faithful and reliable in your dealings with others? In all these earthly ways, we learn the meaning of being faithful to God. Put another way, you might say that being faithful is being trustworthy and reliable. Are you faithful in the little things as well as the big ones? In Luke's gospel, Jesus cautions his disciples that dishonesty in the little things is the seed of bigger dishonesty. If you can't be faithful in the wealth that comes from the things of the earth, don't expect God to entrust you with the true riches of the kingdom. Jesus says we can't serve two masters. We can't serve both God and money. That's in chapter 16. The Greek word here for money is mammona, which also translates as mammon or riches. The point goes beyond financial wealth. If you choose to serve God, you're also choosing to let nothing else take priority over that commitment. Now that's a big deal. This doesn't mean you neglect your family or your work. It means just the opposite. It means that in all your dealing, you bring your Christian beliefs to the table. That's from where you deal. Think about your life. How do your children think of you? One of my children is going through something awful right now. She's in her mid-40s. She's having a midlife crisis, I guess. And the father that she apparently looked up to for many, many years is now an idiot. I'm the same guy. Maybe I've got a little bit of both in me, but it hurts to see how my child thinks of me right now. I hope that will change. How does your spouse think of you? How does your church think of you? Are you trustworthy? Are you reliable? This is the way you live out your faithfulness. This is what God wants from us. This is part and parcel of the fruit of the Spirit. Our Lord gives it first to us. Please remember that. You didn't think it up. It comes from Him into you. We only return to Him that faithfulness which has first been extended to us. And unfortunately, we usually only return a small portion of that which has been given us. But God is our model. The psalmist reminds us, as we read this morning, that the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. This congregation has a nice cross section of age groups. I love coming over here and seeing that. You have children and teens and 20-somethings and more. It's a healthy look for the future. Some churches I've been in are so great, it just hurts. We also have many older adults here, and I want to focus for just a moment on that age group, because sometimes it may seem that aging is a process of diminishing in effort and accomplishments. God does not see it that way. There is a plethora of older adults in the scriptures. Let me mention just a few. Moses comes to mind. Know the story of Moses. He stood poised to take over the reins of Egypt. He was a 40-year-old, and he was about to step up, and then God showed that he had other plans for him. Now, that's not so unusual, but the story gets better, doesn't it? Moses disappears for 40 years into the wilderness, and at the age of 80, I'm not even that old, God called Moses back into service to lead the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, and that was the beginning. Moses continued to lead God's people for another 40 years to the ripe old age of 120 before he handed over the reins to Joshua, his general. We forget about Joshua. Joshua probably was mature enough to handle it since he was 80. Bear in mind that the story of God and his chosen people begins with Abraham and Sarah. Now that is just a riot. Abraham has no children until he's 100. Man, I get tired just thinking about that. Think about playing ball in the backyard and you're 100. He has Isaac through Sarah when she is 90. The pregnancy of Sarah is so unlikely that Sarah laughs. She laughs at the angel of God when she hears she's going to conceive a child. And in commemoration of that, when her son comes along, she calls him Isaac, which means laughter. The Apostle Paul didn't take his first missionary journey until he was well into his 40s. The Bible is full of examples of persons whose greatest contributions came in their senior years. We don't really have the luxury of putting off our discipleship on the backs of younger people because that's just not biblical. Here's a slightly more contemporary example. Anybody ever hear of Thomas Obadiah Chisholm? Look at all the hands going up. I had neither. He was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky in 1866, only a year after the end of the Civil War. By the time he was 16, he was teaching school. 11 years later, 27 years old, he was converted to Christianity at a revival. He served 1 year as a Methodist minister, but he had to resign because his health went bad. So he took up selling insurance. Now this story is pretty plain so far, isn't it? Could have been anybody. But this guy had a yen for poetry. Over the course of his life, he wrote over 1,200 sacred poems. He sent one of those poems to a friend at the Moody Bible Institute. His friend William Runyon wrote the music to go with the poem, and it was published, and we just sang it. We know it as Great is Thy Faithfulness. Chisholm's most famous poem was written in his 50s when he was apparently long removed from ministry. We sing it today, as do many churches around the world. Great thing to quote on Sunday. Listen to the refrain. You just sang it, but listen to it in a different way. Great is thy faithfulness. He's talking to God. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. As we go about our daily tasks, though they may be boring and repetitive, though they may have been done 10,000 times before, though we may feel that they could not possibly have anything to do with the kingdom of God, let us give pause. It doesn't matter what age we are or what positions we're in. God calls us all. It's not only what we do, but also the way we do it that witnesses to the Lord and his people. Are you being faithful, reliable, trustworthy? Say it with me together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Let's pray. Dear Father, you have been so faithful to each and every one of us. Each of us could get up here and testify to times when we were carried by you, when we didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go, didn't know how to get it done, but you did. Help us to remember and understand that life is not so much about victories as it is journeys. And that on every journey, no matter how small, we will find you there with us. And on every door we have to open, you will find us there to welcome us. And on every door we exit, we will find you on the other side, going with us. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.